your wife would come. She's going to be singing and playing this morning. So, and you can come up with her too. I mean, that's up to you. But she wants to sing a special this morning, and we are just delighted that you're look right there. Yes.
Get there. You'll hear me, I think. Yep. We're good. All right. Well, it's good to be with you guys this morning. What a blessing. I always tell Sean, you know, coming from a big church, getting to come to a smaller church is just, it's refreshing. It's good to be with you guys, and just, it always kind of heals my heart a little bit. I don't know. I love our church. Our church is awesome, but it's good to come out and just ground level kind of see you guys. I mean, but yeah, this morning I'm just going to sing about the name of Jesus, and y'all's worship is beautiful. That was refreshing, and all I can think about, just listening to those songs, this song, Evidence, like, of Your Goodness. My dad passed away about 2 years ago, and that was a song that the Lord kind of gave me and my sisters and my family, and we sang that through a hard time of our lives. But thinking about the name of Jesus, we're going to get to sing that name for, we get to sing it now, and we're going to get to sing it for 10,000 years. It's going to continue to be a beautiful name that we sing, and there's power in that name this morning. So I don't know what you're facing this morning, what you've been going through, or what you came into this room with, but I just know that there's power in the name of Jesus to lift the heavy load, to give your soul just rest this morning, and to, it makes a difference. Amen? So, this might be interesting, but, all right.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation, now revealed in You are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Oh, You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, You brought heaven down. Oh, my sin was great, Your love was greater. What can separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Oh, death could not hold You. The veil tore before You. You silenced the boasts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of Your glory, for You are raised to life again, and You have no rival. no equal. Yours is the name above all names. You are the one, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you. What a beautiful name it is. Beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You are holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, yes, worthy is the Lamb. Declare it this morning. Are you Lord God Almighty? Oh, worthy is the Lamb. You are worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb.
I'm a little biased, but I love when she sings. Amen. It is so, so good to be with you guys this morning. As Emily just said, it is refreshing to come, and you can tell a whole lot by a church when we start worship and the Spirit of God starts flooding the church. I love you guys. Just got here, don't know you that well, but I love you. You can tell this is a good church. And that's a reflection. You guys got a great pastor, and I appreciate you so much having us out here today. So thank you so much for bringing us out. We are glad to be here, truly are. And today we're going to be singing about, talking about, teaching about Jesus. He is holy, and he is our good shepherd. So today we're going to be taking our text from Psalm 23. If you want to go ahead and turn over there. Psalm chapter 23. Today we're going to be walking through a familiar text. I know it's a familiar chapter. We're going to go through the whole long chapter of 6 verses today. So we're going to walk through it all today. But we're going to go through it in a way that I personally have never gone through before until just this last week. I was reading this book by, I forgot the guy's name, but the book is entitled A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And if you're at all able to, I would highly recommend getting it. It's a small book, but it was awesome. And a lot of what I'm going to share with you came from testimonies that he had in his life serving as a shepherd in Egypt, northern Egypt. But the terrain there was very similar to what it would be in the Middle East. So how he took care of his sheep, he was a shepherd and then he became a pastor. So how he took care of his sheep would have been very similar to that of the Middle East and what would have been in Israel. So looking at Psalm 23... we're reading of David, who was a shepherd. And it's best, I mean, I am a huge proponent that context is king in Scripture. So when we read any book, any chapter within the book, we have to understand the story as a whole, that the Word of God from start to finish is the redemption story of mankind. God creating us to dwell with him for eternity, us rebelling in the garden. The rest of the book is dedicated to God redeeming us. That's the story of the Bible, God's redemption story through his son laying down his life at Calvary. If we have that foundation, when we get into particular books, they make sense because they fit within the overall story. But when we find this chapter here, we're reading a shepherd talking about the good shepherd. So it makes sense to have a shepherd tell us about the themes and the words that are being taught here, right? I think, honestly, today... this helped me understand this psalm in a way I have never understood it before. So I hope and pray that by the time you leave here today, you're going to leave here with a better grasp on Psalm 23. All right? All right, so Psalm 23, have you found your place? All right, I want to just say thank you one more time. And we truly got to stay in Lafayette last night and took a break from our children. I'm sorry if that sounds bad, but we have a 9-month-old little boy and a 2-year-old girl who turned 2 in May. So my mom got in yesterday and we were like, is it too early for us to leave? Like, she got in and my little girl, she turned 2 in May, like I said, but she speaks really well. So she needed to go to the bathroom. She was like, I need to go potty. Grandma, take me. My mom was busy and I was like, I'll take you. And she's like, no, grandma. I said, I'll take you. She's busy. So she threw a little fit and I brought her in her room to talk to her because I found that just sitting her down was like, I'm not going to spank you. Let's just talk. All right. Let's be adults here to my 2-year-old. Let's be mature. All right. I said, look, I'm not going to spank you if you stop crying. So she stops crying. She looks at me. I said, sometimes your mom's not here. Grandma's busy, so sometimes I need to take you to the potty, okay? And I was like, you understand? And she was like, okay. And she looks at the ground for a second. She goes, sometimes, Daddy, I don't want you to. I set myself up for that. Good job, girl. I said, Grandma's in the bathroom. Go. But it's funny. You leave them, and then 30 minutes into our drive, we're watching videos of our kids just laughing about them. So it's crazy. But we love them, and we're so glad to be here, though, and to get a day of just being with you guys. So thank you for having us one more time. Appreciate it. All right, so have you found your place? Psalm 23? Let's go ahead and read today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My God, that's a good psalm, isn't it? Amen, amen. I want to share with you a message this morning entitled, and the title is going to sound strange at first. It'll make sense when we wrap up today, okay? I want to share a message today entitled, Stop Fence Crawling. Stop Fence Crawling. I promise it'll make sense, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much today, and we thank you for who you are, and we love you. Lord, we thank you that you are a good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the flock. And Lord, we thank you for laying down your life for us, God, for giving your son for us, heaven's best for us. So today we can lift up holy hands without wrath unto salvation, and we can proclaim how good is our God, how good is our shepherd, and we can boast to this world about how good you've been to us. We love you today. Bless the teaching and preaching of your word today. Lord, open our eyes and our ears to hear and to understand your word just a little bit better today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Like I said, we're going to walk through this. So the first portion of this text that declares, the Lord is my shepherd. How much work needs to go into being a shepherd? Before you even get the sheep, as I was reading this book, several shepherd accounts of how much labor they had to go through buying a plot of land. So first they had to work a different job to raise the money to buy the land. Then they had to toil the land, had to build a fence all the way around it, had to section it off for different pastures on the property, build a house on the land, build a shed for the winter time. So all of this work that went into it was before they were even able to have sheep. And then this man that particularly that I was reading behind worked for several years to save up enough money to buy 30 sheep. And that was his first flock, 30 sheep. Spent his life savings on it. Everything he had spent just to get the sheep. Just to get them. And he said, this is when the work starts. If you think about it, what God has done to bring you into the fold, to bring you in and call you a son and a daughter, cost Jesus Christ his life. Just to get you in the flock, cost Jesus Christ becoming a man, humbling himself to take upon the form of a man, being found in the fashion of a man, as Philippians 2 tells us, he humbled himself again and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. This was necessary just to buy the sheep. But all of that work goes in. You don't do all of that work to get the sheep if you're just going to leave them out to die. Right? If you're going to work that hard to buy the sheep, you're doing it because you want to take care of the sheep. So really, salvation, as it's not just an escape out of hell. Right? That's not what salvation is. Salvation is the gateway to the relationship that God initially designed humanity to be in. To pull you back into a personal and intimate relationship with him. That's where it starts. My God, and it just keeps getting better. It just keeps getting better. But all of that price paid just to buy you. You think he's going to leave you out to dry after that? If we understand how much he paid to buy us, is he going to leave us out to die after that? You can talk to me this morning. You think he's going to leave you out to dry? No. If he spent heaven's best on you, he's not going to let you wither away after that. So I can declare he's my shepherd. And I can go on the fence to the sheep on the next pasture, and I can boast about how good my shepherd is. What he did to buy me, oof, he laid down his life for me just to bring me in. So I'm going to brag on my shepherd. And that's how this psalm starts, is let me tell you about my shepherd. And the rest of the psalm is him bragging about his shepherd. My shepherd is so good that I shall not want. Which literally translates, I shall lack nothing. Need nothing. I'm in need of nothing because I know who my shepherd is. If he gave his life for me, man, I'm not worried about a thing over here in this pasture. There's one other meeting, but I'm going to save that for the end because that's where we're going to end up tonight, okay? Or this morning, excuse me. That's where we're going to end up. So I shall not want means I shall not lack. I shall be in need of nothing. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. There are four requirements for sheep to lie down, to be comfortable enough to just lie down and go to sleep. Number one, they must be free of all fear. Free of all fear. Number two, they must be free of all friction with their own kind. So any confrontation with other sheep. So free of fear, free of friction. Number three, free of flies and pestilence. And number four, free of hunger. So fear, friction, flies and pestilence, and hunger. Jesus said his spirit will cast out all fear. You have nothing to be afraid of. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. You don't even need to worry about tomorrow because it will have cares of itself. You just, sufficient for today is the trouble therein. You worry about today, I got tomorrow. So you don't need to be afraid when you lie your head down at night. Your shepherd is taking care of tomorrow. No need to be afraid. He said, all of your needs I will meet according to my riches and glory. And his storehouse is a whole lot better than my bank account. So I don't need to worry about my hunger. I don't need to worry about the things I truly have need of. He will provide them. He didn't die for me to leave me out to wither. So I can lay my head down. Friction with other flock. Other members in the flock. This is something, man, all Christians should take this. Actually, there's scripture that tells us if you want to ask for forgiveness, first go forgive those that you have quarrels with. Before you even pray, go make things right. That's what the Bible tells us. Before you even come to God to pray, go make things right with the other believers. And then come talk to me, is what the Lord said. Man, that's tough, huh? But that's scripture. And if you'll do that, you can lie your head down at night knowing my shepherd has dealt with the issue. I trust him with tomorrow. I trust he's going to provide for me and care for me. I don't need to worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear. Take no thought for these things, Jesus said. Solomon wasn't as clothed as good as the grass and the lilies in the field. The richest man who ever lived, God said, I clothed the grass and the flowers better than him. I can take care of you. You can lay your head down in green pastures and go to sleep tonight. Amen? This is how good our shepherd is. And we're just getting there. It gets better. We're just getting there. He leads me beside still waters. is the next thing. So a sheep, I had no idea that this was true, but this guy said a sheep can go several months if they have a good pasture without actually going to a real water source, like a spring or a river. The reason being, if it's a good pasture, they have so much dew on the grass in the morning before the sun rises that it can sustain the sheep for a couple months. So the shepherd has to go out and he has to travel and look for a good well, or build a well, dig a well, look for a good spring or a good river and stream to bring the sheep to when they need it. So the shepherd has to go do the work beforehand. You're not just going to take a bunch of flock of sheep and just walk out and wander looking for water. A good shepherd goes and finds it first. Our shepherd, thankfully, is the water source. As he sat at the well with the Samaritan woman, he said, "You drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But the water I'll give you will be a well springing up in your soul. And you will never thirst again. This is going to be living water. My God, you will never thirst again. When he is your shepherd, you can boast of that. I can lay my head down at night. I have no fear for tomorrow. I know who my shepherd is. Everything I have need of, I know who my shepherd is. So he restores my soul," verse 3. This is where starting to hear a shepherd talk about the chapter starts to make a little more sense. When he talks about restoring my soul in shepherd talk, they restored cast sheep. So a cast sheep, or casting sheep, is when a sheep would fall over and roll on their back with their arms up, and they couldn't roll over by themselves. So this is the animal God refers to us as. That's humbling. That's humbling. They fall over and they just sit there with their arms up until they die. Like just flail around, bye, I don't know, but they just flail until they die. So especially if it's cold out, the shepherd has to be on guard watching for this, because the sheep get cast and he has to go out and flip them over onto their feet. And what he would do is he would flip them onto their feet, and this particular man, as a Christian, would pray with the sheep, and he would sit there and he would rub their legs until the blood began flowing back into their legs, so that, because they couldn't stand on their own. Man, that's good. They couldn't stand on their own. So the shepherd, the good shepherd, when they were in need, flipped them back on their feet and then took time to comfort them until they were able to stand. The sweetest times I've ever had in prayer were times when I was hurt and my good shepherd came and just comforted me. Some of the sweetest times I've ever had, God just came by and comforted me and sat there with me until I was able to stand. I found he was a good shepherd in those times. When I was cast and I was turned over, I found he was a good shepherd that was diligent to see where I was. A neglecting shepherd doesn't care where the sheep are. A good shepherd is diligent to see those that are cast and turn them over and sit with them. He's a good shepherd. So I can brag on my shepherd this morning. Amen. Amen. But a cast sheep, typically there were two times where they typically were cast. One, if they found a spot that was super comfortable. That's where you found the most commonplace was if a sheep found a spot that was too comfortable and they got real cozy and they fell asleep and they rolled over and you'd have to go get them. So careful in Christianity. Look, contentment is a good thing. I'm content with where I am in Christ, but I'm not staying here. Come on. I'm not staying here. I'm content with where he's brought me from and the things he's done in my life, but I'm not staying here. I still want change to happen in my heart. I still need change to happen in my heart and in my life. And I still want to grow and be conformed into his image. So I'm not comfortable, but I'm content. There's a difference. Comfortable is where you get in the flesh and I'm fine. I don't really need anything else. Don't need to change. Don't need to grow. Don't need to share the gospel. Don't need to contribute to the gospel in any way. I'm comfortable. Careful when you get comfortable, because a lot of times you'll be cast. So when they're comfortable, they fall over. And when there was too much wool, they would fall over, because they got too heavy in themselves. They got too heavy with themselves and fell over. Pride goes before. So the cast sheep that was too heavy with their own wool, the shepherd would have to go and pick it up and shear the sheep. And he said they hated it, but it was necessary to help them to stand again. There's times where my shepherd has had to shear me. Hey, let's be real this morning. There's times where our shepherd needs to say, hey, there's too much flesh going on here. Too much flesh is going to elevate self, and you're going to be cast, and you're going to need the shepherd to turn you over, shear you, and get you back on your feet. But if we learn to value growth, if we learn to value growth and maturity more than our comfort, we will value the shearing. So we can rejoice at any time, because I've seen the evidence of his goodness when I'm hurting and when I'm broken, but I've seen the evidence of his goodness when I'm full of flesh and I need him to shear me. See, that's the place where a Christian needs to come to, is I can boast in my shepherd when he's taking care of me, and I can boast in my shepherd when he is challenging me and he's correcting me, because we need growth. So the cast sheep happens when they get a little too comfortable or when they get a little too full of self. And God comes and turns them up, and he patiently, lovingly sits there until they can stand on their feet. Isn't that good? That's good. Let's look at the end of verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So sheep are notoriously creatures of habit. So when they start grazing one particular area, they will just graze and graze and graze that area. And as this shepherd said, they would graze until the grass is completely gone and they're just eating roots and eating dirt and roots and just whatever's left. So a good shepherd has to be diligent to watch when the field is starting to dwindle a little. He takes the sheep and moves them to a new pasture. And he said even the oldest, most frail sheep would get so excited when he moved them to a new pasture. And when he opened that gate, they'd be so excited in this new pasture that God, that the shepherd brought them to. But that's so much like humanity, is that we will just stay in our place of comfortability until all that was good there is withered up, and we'll just stay. Because change is hard, because change is uncomfortable. Or we get comfortable where we are and God moves us to a new place and we are brilliant enough to want to go back. So he had one sheep that just wanted to go back to the last pasture that was withering away, that was already done with, and they were in a fresh new pasture, but standing at the fence looking back. Listen, if God's brought you through something or God has brought you to a new place, stop longing to go back to a past season. I've had issues with that at times. Like I've had issue where I used to have so much free time to spend with the Lord. And I had times where I was like, Lord, I just want to go back to having hours and hours and hours a day. You don't have hours a day when you got two little kids and a full-time job in ministry. You just don't have hours and hours a day. And the Lord brought me to Ecclesiastes where it says the fool says in his heart that the days past were better than the present. It's not wise to look at them and say, how much better was that season than this? Rejoice where God has you now, because you can trust that the shepherd has you where you need to be. A good shepherd is going to bring you where you need to be at the right time in the right season. And I love my shepherd. So he leads me into these new pastures for his name's sake, that his sheep would be full and fat and healthy, and for his name's sake, that we can boast about our shepherd. Amen? Amen. This is where it gets good. It's already been good, but this is where it gets even better. It gets gooder. It gets gooder. Verse 4 is where things transition here. So things transition here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So verse 4, there is a major shift that changes. Watch this with me. Go back to verse 1. The Lord is whose shepherd? My shepherd. Who shall not want? I shall not want. He makes who lie down in green pastures? Me. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul, right? He leads me. Watch what changes here. In verse 4, he starts saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. In verse 5, who's preparing the table? You. So really what this is, in verses 1 through 3, it's almost like a sheep standing at the fence, talking to sheep in the next pasture, bragging about their shepherd. Look at this is how good my shepherd is. What he's done for me, he laid down his life for me to buy me. This is what we should be doing to the world. We have a world that's in a field that is withering away, dying with a hard taskmaster that cares nothing for them. And we have this shepherd, we should be bragging on our shepherd. This is how good my shepherd is. He laid down his life for me. How good my shepherd is, I don't even have to worry about tomorrow because I know I can trust him. How good my shepherd is, I've been hurting and he comforted me and picked me up. I've been in a high mountain place and my God, I rejoiced with him. He's a good shepherd. So he's boasting about the shepherd, but now that it changes to where he's talking almost directly to the shepherd. And it transitions here in the summertime. This is a summertime journey is what it is. It's a summer range is what the shepherd called it. So as I was reading behind this shepherd who was took care of sheep in this particular area close to Israel, he said, during the winter months, you would stay at home. And you take care of the sheep at home. And then when spring came, you'd take off on the summer range, summer journey. You'd go to the mountaintop. So as the snow was melting and as the weather was changing, they'd travel up higher to higher grounds where fresh grass was and the sheep could graze and it was better for the sheep. So the journey they would take was a gradual growth, which in order to do that, every mountain has valleys. So in order to get up the mountaintop to where they wanted to go, they had to gradually go up through valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the good shepherd goes before and marks out the path beforehand. He knows exactly where they're going. But the best way was through the valleys because the valleys had the greatest water source and had the greatest food source. Listen, Jesus said in this life, you will face trials and tribulations. If we go through this life thinking that we're, or wanting to never face a difficult time, we're fooling ourselves. On this side of the grave, we're fooling ourselves. And actually, in the difficult times and in the hard places, as Emily just shared, in those hard places, there's the most water. In the valleys, there's the most grass to graze. In the valleys, you can learn of your shepherd in a way that you can never learn on a mountaintop. So I want to learn everything I can about my shepherd. I want to learn how good he is on a mountaintop, but I also want to know how good he is when I'm in desperate place in a valley. I want everything my shepherd has to offer, the highs and the lows, because I trust also if we're going through a valley, we're taking a journey to a place that he has in mind. So as they traveled through the valleys, it was intentional to get where they were going for their summer journey. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in this valley, he said that they only had sunlight a couple hours a day because you're in a valley that is surrounded on both sides. So it's the valley of the shadow of death. So you had sunlight for a few hours a day, and there were predators that would always draw nearer when they were in the valley. And that's why the rest of the verse says, I still trust my shepherd because his rod and his staff comfort me. The rod, the shepherd said, the rod was an extension of his right hand. That they would carve this out themselves, personally make it for themselves. And he said he used to go and he would have conferences where they would have a bunch of shepherds get together. And what they would do is they would have competitions throwing their rod to see who could throw it as far as they can and as accurate as they can, which I had no idea they did this. But he said they'd get together and they would throw the rod as far as they could and as accurate as they could because that was their weapon. It was their weapon to protect, but he said the vast majority of the times it was their weapon to use for correction. So if a sheep was in the valley and it started eating a poisonous bush, the shepherd would get his rod and just chuck it at the sheep. And when he hit the sheep would pop up and realize, okay, I need to get back to the flock. This is what God calls us. Turned over with your feet up and eating poison berries, throwing rods at us. But he chastens those he loves, the writer of Hebrews says. So I've learned my shepherd is good when he makes me lie down in green pastures, but I've also learned my shepherd's good when I get hit with a rod. Because if you value correction, this is where maturity comes in Christianity. Do you value correction or do you value comfort? I value correction because it gets me back closer to the shepherd. So if I'm wandering off, I need that rod to come flying through the air and hit me and get me back to the shepherd's side. I would have liked to see it, though. I would have liked to see it. He said that the predators, he fought off foxes, coyotes, wolves, all these different things. And he said the one thing he never saw was a cougar. He said their attacks were so good, so meticulous, that he never saw one with his own eyes. He saw his sheep mauled by them, but he never saw them. But he said the sheep that were always mauled were the ones that were afar off. The ones that were mauled were the ones that kept getting hit with the rod and never heeded to it and stayed near the shepherd. I want to be as close to that shepherd's side as I can possibly be. I want to walk right next to him, with him. And his spirit has come as our parakletos, one who comforts us, who walks right beside us. That's what I want. He told a story. They were lifting up this boulder in Africa, and like 5-6 men were lifting up this boulder, and they get this boulder up high enough, they were going to turn it over and move it out of the way, and there was a cobra underneath it. And this guy said as soon as he saw the cobra, I mean, he saw it was coiled up about to attack him, and the second he saw it, it was dead. Because there was a young shepherd boy there who had his rod in his hand, and the second he saw the cobra, he smashed that thing's head. And then he realized, while we were turning this boulder over, this kid never let go of his rod. It was literally an extension of his right hand, a symbol of his authority and his power, his strength. And the sheep find comfort in the shepherd's rod. I find comfort knowing he's going to correct me, but also this can be used to protect me. And his staff, they comfort me. His staff also, another thing that they would create personally for themselves that was used for several reasons, had a hook on the end. Number one reason that he said they used it for was when the sheep were giving birth. So he had a friend who had thousands of sheep and would walk through the fields. If you picked up a baby sheep that was lost from its mother and brought it to the mother, it runs the risk of them smelling like you and the mother will reject it. So he said, as I was reading this book, he said one of image that's just ingrained in his mind was his friend walking through a field, scooping up little baby lambs and giving them to his mother, to their mothers. Just walking through thousands of sheep doing it. Like how good is that for a shepherd? How much care is that for a shepherd? If you think the little things in your life don't matter to God, you're wrong. I just heard someone say this the other day. Show me something that's big to you. And let me see how much that stacks up to God. So do you think your little things on the scale of your big things separate that much compared to God? Your big things are not difficult for him. We say it all the time, nothing's too hard for God. Nothing is hard for God. He said light, and light was. That's the literal translation of let there be light. He just said light, and the universe is what it is today. One word. That's the God you serve. So your little things matter to him. Your big things matter to him. And he'll walk through the field when you need it and pick you up. So the staff picks up the sheep. It also pulls timid sheep closer. So if those that need to be examined, he would get close enough to them and hook them and pull them close so that he could sift through the wool to see the skin. Because you can't see how healthy the sheep is just by the wool. You can put up a facade all you want, but when God gets you alone in the prayer closet, he's going to push the wool away and see what's really in the depths of your heart. You can fool other people for a little while, but there needs to come a time where you let the shepherd pull you close and pull apart the wool and see what's in the heart. So where we can say, try my reins, Lord, try the reins of my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me, so that you can deal with it and correct me and mature me and grow me. I want God to pull me close and correct me. Sometimes that's not easy. But that's what it, do you want to look like Christ? That staff would pull them close, push the wool apart, and examine the skin to see how healthy they really were. And finally, it guided the sheep where he wanted to go. So he would sit on their side, walk by their sides, and put the staff alongside of their shoulder and their neck, and just gently push them in the direction they wanted them to go. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of us and dwell. This is the freedom and liberty we have because of Calvary, is that he will take up residence in you. Not just, this is not a far off God. He literally dwells within my heart. So he will lead me and guide me into all truth. And this staff just gently directed them where to go in the right path. Listen, we need to become sensitive to the presence of God and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. For big things in our life, I need to know where change needs to happen, direction needs to happen, but also little things in my life, everyday things, when to talk to people, how to talk to people. We need that sensitivity, but that comes from a personal relationship with Christ. So this is verse 4. Verse 5, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy." So this table, according to shepherds and shepherd terminology, it's called tablelands. It's what they refer to this. This is what the summer journey is about, getting to the tablelands. The word table in Spanish is a mesa. You guys know what a mesa is? She grew up in Texas and went out to West Texas all the time. A mesa is a plateau. It's literally a flat mountaintop. So when he talks about the tablelands that he's trying to bring his sheep to, this shepherd said the prime goal of all shepherds was to get his sheep in the summertime up to the top of a tabletop mountain. He said it was the hardest place to get your sheep, but it was the best place to get your sheep. You had to go out in the winter when it was still snowing and travel and map out your whole journey through the valleys, up the hills, up the mountains, find a tabletop, clear it out. Clear out the water sources on it. He and his sons had to go up there for several days and crawl on their hands and knees and pluck these white flowers because they were poisonous to the sheep. So for days, they did nothing but pull these flowers. This is all before the sheep ever even leave his field. How good is that? How good is our shepherd? Before you ever even leave the field, he's not only mapped it out, but he's already prepared the destination for you. You can trust your shepherd. He goes before him and plans it. He plucks all these poisonous flowers, brings them through the valleys, up the hillside, up to the mountaintop, and this is where he's trying to bring them to. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This shepherd would do this. Every year, he would take his sheep up to a tabletop mountain. And he said it was the hardest work of the year, but it was the best place to be because his sheep could graze, and they would graze it the best that they did all year long. How much work went into this, though? But in the presence of my enemies, he said, there's nothing surrounding you. There's no mountains on the sides. There's nothing protecting you. You're wide open there in the visibility and the presence of enemies. So it took a diligent shepherd to go beforehand to map this whole thing out. A diligent shepherd to clear off the tabletop. And now it takes a very diligent shepherd to stand on guard and protect his flock. The hardest place to bring them was the best place to bring them, but a good shepherd does the work. You serve a good shepherd. And this is what David is talking about, God. The hardest thing in shepherd terminology, I know my God is able to do it. And he'll bring me to those tabletops and he'll set it right before me in the presence of my enemy. And I still don't fear because his rod and his staff, I've learned that his rod will comfort or correct me, but I've learned his rod can protect me. So on a tabletop, I'm not worried because I know my shepherd. In a valley, I'm not worried because I know my shepherd. When I'm by a riverside, I'm not worried. I know my shepherd. When I lay down at night, I'm not worried. I know my shepherd. See, all this goes back to the Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. If you know your shepherd, you have nothing to worry about this morning. So on a tabletop in summertime, enjoying the best feast that they have of the entire year, it seems like the best time of year, but it's also fly time. The flies would come, and the worst flies were nose flies. They would get in, and they would lay eggs in the nose of the sheep. It's kind of nasty, but hear me out. They lay eggs in the nose of the sheep. The eggs would hatch, and little worms would burrow in their nasal cavity. So what the sheep would do is literally just bang their, they just bang their head on, like, trees and bang their head against other sheep because it was so irritated. Again, this is God. What he calls us. We're turned over with our feet up, falling over, eating poison berries, slamming our head against walls. And that's what God said. This is the animal I will compare you to. So nose flies are the worst thing that could happen. But a diligent shepherd would be watching, knowing this is the time of year when this happens. A diligent shepherd would watch and see if there were any flies amongst his flock. And a diligent shepherd made his own ointment of oil and rubbed it all over the nose of the sheep to keep the flies from burrowing in there and laying eggs. So a diligent shepherd poured oil on the nose of the sheep so that they did not get flies in their head. And some of them even died from it. That's the care and the protection of your shepherd. You see how good he's getting? He was good at the start, but he's really good now. So summertime was fly time and it was scab time. Scab is a contagious disease that sheep get often on their head. And sheep, when they say hi to each other, when they like greet one another, they rub heads against each other. So if one gets this contagious disease, it quickly spreads throughout the whole congregation, the whole flock. So if one got scab, this is awesome. The answer for scab was the same as for the nose. He poured oil on it. Isn't that beautiful? The answer for what you have difficulty with is the same for no matter what the difficulty may be. The answer is still the blood of Jesus and him pouring oil on you. His spirit coming in and comforting you if you need comfort is the answer. His spirit coming and correcting you if you need correction is the answer. His spirit coming and bringing freedom if you need freedom is the answer. But it's always Jesus Christ and him crucified and his spirit working in you is always going to be the answer. So the same oil that protected their nose now heals their scab. That's good. I was sharing a little bit of this with our junior high and high school kids. We had Bible study for Crossfire the other day, and it just hit me so hard with the congregation with scab. Scab infects the whole congregation. How true is that of bitterness? How true of that is an envious heart, a discontent heart? It happens in a church. Start getting bitter and start telling somebody else. Bitterness can spread quickly. Can spread quickly amongst Christians. Listen, I want to be the sheep that when scab gets to me, it stops. That when gossip gets to me, this is where it dies. That scab is not going any further and it's not touching any other sheep after it gets to me. Amen? Amen. Amen. It stops here. So bitterness stops here. Envy and jealousy stops here. So that no other of the flock is infected. Because if they are, this guy had his whole entire flock infected one year. And he had to get big tanks, almost like baptism tanks. He had to get huge tanks and he had to dunk every single sheep fully in that oil. Their entire body. It's the only way to heal the whole flock. They had to have the oil cover them entirely. But this is how good our shepherd is. He not only sets a table in the best time of the year at the greatest place you could be at, but the difficulty that arises in summertime, he'll pour oil on you. Even in the good times, he'll pour oil on you. That's my God. In the valley, you can expect to be comforted, right? When we're going through difficult times, we long to be comforted from God. But when I'm on a mountaintop, I still need him. I still need him. I'm not going to get comfortable on a mountaintop and stay away from the shepherd so he doesn't realize there's little things starting to get in me. There's little things starting to grow roots in me. Little issues that are starting to grow roots in me. I want him right there protecting me from that even while things are good. I don't want to just be comforted in the valley. I want comfort on a mountaintop. I don't want to just be corrected in a valley. I want to be corrected on a mountaintop. And he's willing to do it and has the answer for every ailment that we have. He'll pour oil on us. My cup runs over. This is the end of the summertime. The end of being on the tabletop is the fattest and the healthiest the sheep are at all times of the year. At this point. So my cup runs over. My God, my shepherd's good. My shepherd is good. So he, goodness and mercy, love, will follow me all the days of my life. So at the end of the summer, they turn around when things are getting cold again and they start heading back home. So goodness, mercy, and love are going to follow me. When I'm at home with the shepherd, man, it's good. When we're going through a valley, it's good. When we're up on a mesa on a mountaintop, it's good. And when we're heading back, I know the same goodness I felt in the shepherd's house, that I felt in the pastures, that I had at the waters, that I had in the valley, that I had on a mountaintop, that I have anywhere I am in life. My shepherd's good. And it's going to keep following me. His mercy will endure forever. And they'll be new every single morning. My God, he's good. So I know as I'm heading back, he's good. And the last thing, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So putting ourselves first and foremost in the context of a shepherd in their walk, in their journey in life, in over the course of this year, where are we? We're heading back from the mountaintop, right? Heading where? You can talk to me. What? We're heading back to the shepherd's house. So as a sheep, he declares, I'm heading back to the shepherd's house. I've seen what he did in the winter. I saw what he did when I needed water, when I needed peace to lie down. I saw what he did in the valley. I saw what he did on the mountaintop. I saw what he did to that enemy. I saw what he did when I was eating that poison berry, when I was turned up with my feet up in the air. I've seen how good he is. Because of how good my shepherd is, I will make this declaration. I will stay here with him forever. I am content in this field. My God, I have no need to look anywhere else because of who my shepherd is. My God, he's good. So I'll dwell in this house. I don't need to go peek my head through the fence and see what the neighbor's doing. I know my shepherd. And there's no shepherd better than my shepherd. No shepherd would come down from heaven and lay down his life for me. So I know my shepherd. No shepherd has stood with me when I was weeping and brought me up and waited till I could stand on my own. So I'll stay with him forever. He's good. No shepherd was caring enough that when I was on a mountaintop, he still was diligent enough to protect me, lest I fall. I'll stay with this shepherd forever. I'll stay in this house forever. You would think that that's the cry of every single person, right? And for most Christians, as they get to know him better and better, that is our cry, and that should be our cry. But there's always a couple that just aren't content. This man who wrote this book, and I'm closing with this, he shared a story of how his field was the best field by far anywhere in his land, in his territory. As far as he could drive, his field was the best. His neighbor could care less about their flock. He said it broke his heart watching his neighbor's sheep. The grass was always dried up. The neighbor neglected them. In the winter, they stayed out cold. They didn't have enough grain for the winter. They didn't have enough food. He had three of the neighbor's little withered away sheep escaped and died on his property, and he wheelbarrowed them back, and the neighbor could care less. He said his neighbor's sheep would line up across the fence and just stare at his flock because of how good his land was. Just stand there, withering away, about to die, looking at how good his sheep had it. He said it broke his heart, but all he could think of was Satan as a taskmaster. That there's nothing good, that they are withering away, and he could care less. But he had one sheep in his flock that would always crawl the fences, is what he said. Constantly examining the fence if there be any hole in it. And if there was ever a hole in the fence, this one sheep, he said it was the finest looking sheep he had. I don't know what makes a sheep look fine. I don't know. But this sheep, in his mind, he said she was his finest sheep. She bore good lambs every year. She was a sturdy, good sheep, I guess. Best he had. But she was a fence crawler, he said. Constantly looking for a hole in the fence, constantly standing, looking out the fence to what was beyond the property. Even though his property was taken care of better than anyone else's in the land, this sheep was not content. And that's in verse 1 when I said there's another meaning to I shall not want. The other meaning is I shall be entirely content. And this sheep stood there constantly staring out, looking, is there something better? Is there something better? Something's better out there. I know it. I know it. And when she found a hole, she would escape and he would go and have to bring her back. And there's times where the shepherd would have to break a sheep's leg and put it over its shoulders and bring it back. But he said over and over, the sheep kept doing it. Would escape and go down to the beach side where he lived by water and would eat roots and sand from the beach. You got the best pasture, the best shepherd in the land, and you're eating sand on the beach. This is a Christian that is not content with what God has for their life. This isn't just the world out there. This is Christians who are not content to make Jesus Lord. Because that's biblical Christianity. It's not just, I said the sinner's prayer one time and I live my life however I want. Biblical Christianity is I give everything to him. He becomes Lord of, watch this, my life. So everywhere what I do with my life, who I spend my life with, where I end up in my life, the state I'm in. I didn't choose to live in Louisiana. I'm sorry if you love Louisiana. It's all right. Summers are not. I didn't choose that. Although I have to, I'll share this rabbit hole. I was in Michigan shoveling snow, ice and snow, and laying salt on my driveway, and I actually was praying, Lord, send me somewhere warm. And then I was at the ministry walking over the bridge in July, and it was 110 degrees, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean that. He's faithful. Yeah, so he answered my prayer in a big way. But I'm here because God said, go to Louisiana. And I'm thankful because God gave me my wife, my job, the place that I'm at to serve the Lord. Everything came as a result of him saying, I got a different pasture to bring you to. And me not looking at the fence saying, I wonder what else is out there. Our life becomes so satisfying when we just learn to trust the shepherd with it. So when he moves me, I'll move. When I stay, I'll stay. When I'm in a valley, thank God his rod and staff comfort me. When I'm on a mountaintop, thank God I'm here and I still need you to help me and protect me. Our life is given to him where everything about it is his. But this little sheep was so discontent with his property that she started teaching her offspring to be fence crawlers. And then she started teaching more sheep to be fence crawlers. See, this is the danger of it. It got to a point where it was so bad that he actually had to put that sheep down. So bad, longing for what was outside of the shepherd's house, that the shepherd had to cut her off. There's a danger of fence crawling. There's a danger of fence crawling. What I came to share with you today, you can come on. What I came to share with you today, and as we close here, came to encourage you to quit fence crawling. If you are today, if you're discontent with where God has you, quit fence crawling and trust your shepherd. If you're looking for something else that God is not bringing you to, quit fence crawling and trust your shepherd. What he has for your life is the best plan for your life, so trust your shepherd. Where he's bringing you in your life is the best place that you can be in your life, so trust your shepherd. And I'm right there with you in the front of the line. It's time for us as Christians to quit fence crawling and looking for something else. If this is my shepherd, my God, he's good. If this is my shepherd, goodness and mercy follow me every day of my life. I don't need to be looking anywhere else. I'm content in this pasture. I'm content with him as my shepherd. Amen. So if you would stand with me today. As we close out today, let's just take a few moments before Pastor Joseph comes back up. And let's just declare, Lord, I'm done fence crawling. I'm done looking away. I'm done looking for something else or anything else. I'm declaring today you can have it all. I'll trust you with my life, with the direction in my life, with where I am in my life. And I'll be grateful for it, and I'll rejoice in it, and I'll serve you in it because I trust you as my shepherd. If that's your heart's cry today, let's take a few moments and declare it this morning. I'm done fence crawling, Lord. You can have it all. And I'll serve you and follow you wherever you lead me. Amen.
To Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily there. I surrender.
If anyone has not made him their shepherd, or if you have and you feel that you've been fence crawling, it's time to redeclare that today, that he's my shepherd. I'll receive him today. Would you bow your heads with me and let's just pray today. Heavenly Father, we love you today, Lord. And for anyone in here, anyone listening today that has not made you their shepherd, God, Lord, we lift them up. We ask you, Father, that each one of us would declare today, Lord, that we believe that you are the Son of the living God, that Jesus Christ has laid down his life for me, that I may be able to call him my shepherd. Lord, that we repent of our sins today, and we believe that you raised Jesus up on the third day after he paid for our sins, and receive him into our hearts today as our Lord and our Savior. Lord, that we may be able to call you our shepherd. For those that have never done that this morning, and for those that have but have been crawling fences, God, today let each and every one of us leave this place declaring, you are our good shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall be content with the care of the one who gave his life for me. Trust him with my life and my eternity, and receive him as my Lord and my King. We love you so much today, and thank you for all you've done for us. And thank you so much for the care that you have for us as your sheep. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Good job. Amen. You want to sing that song again? Surrender all. We're here to, we need to surrender, people. Some of you have things in your life that you have not surrendered to him. You need to give it to him. As she sings this song again, if you need for us to pray with you, come on up. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're here to help in whatever capacity, whatever way that we can. Surrender, surrender. Wave the white flag, saying, Lord, I can't be in charge anymore. I need you to take over, to do what you have to do. You might say, well, there might be certain areas in your heart or in your life that you need God to work on. Let him work as you surrender. There's only victory through the cross of Calvary. What Jesus did at the cross, he gives us victory. Let's sing that song again, if you don't mind. Thank
you. Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and serve him in his presence daily live. I surrender. Savior, holy thine, let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, oh, I surrender all. To thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Father, we give praise and honor to our God this morning.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, I pray a mighty move of your Spirit upon their lives this week. Father, I pray that you would.